I am Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and it's still not unbelievable.
Yes. Yep. Joining us is Jason Brisbois. I believe that was the pronunciation we agreed upon contractually from Bose.
Bose.
Ooh, hey, Bose.
I like their stuff.
Good morning, guys.
Does anybody hate Bose? No.
No.
Good.
Not at all.
Great place to
be. Well, I'm glad you answered that question.
Okay.
that's the answer we like to hear.
Have you get that question often?
Well, no. Honestly, we don't a lot. There's a lot of people who come in and talk about Bose, and we hear story time and time again about what their product is doing for them, whether it's an aviation headset or any of our consumer products, even their automotive products. So we just can't get enough of hearing about how we're fitting into people's lives.
Now, don't get a big head now.
There's always other work to be done with our products, so we love hearing that part, too.
Well, how many years ago has it been since you brought out the noise-canceling headset? 30?
Yeah, at least that. I mean, our real proving ground was back in 1986 when we had some prototypes on the Voyager flight. And, that was inspired by Dr. Bose himself as an acoustics engineer and an expert in educating and exercising acoustics. He was inspired. He was flying on a transatlantic flight. And, at that time, the headsets that they had in commercial aircraft were just hollow tubes.
Right. I remember that.
It's just so painful in your ear canals. And I remember that, too. And really painful. And he said, there's got to be a better way. So right there on the spot, he pulled out one of the cocktail napkins and started doodling algorithms and said, cancel off this sine wave this way and started doing some algorithms. And all that led into noise cancellation technology that got commercialized. And the real breakthrough moment was on that Voyager flight in 86 when the hearing protection that the crew on that flight had was so great, they deemed it mission critical. And they certainly would have had hearing loss without it.
I think a lot of us underestimate how fatiguing a constant noise source can be.
That's right. Yeah, we've done studies, and many have now about by this point, now that it's a pretty common thing, and that low frequency drone on your body has metaphysical impact on you over time, and you don't feel it. And that's kind of the sneaky thing about it, is that it can creep up on you. And even if you're just flying as a passenger commercially, you get off tired after you've been on that flight for a few years, and that acoustics impact is really doing it.
Some of the flights do feel like they're years long.
Really?
Yeah, even a one-hour hop can feel like an eternity.
Yeah, never mind.
But there are advantages to having the noise canceling. I have set of Bose 35s. It's the consumer stuff. Mm-hmm. And on a commercial airliner, the difference it makes is incredible. It's like all of a sudden, the engines have gone away. But yet, we're still flying.
Can you make a headset that cancels out smell?
And screaming kids?
That might be handy.
The screaming kids thing is something that probably could be done. But the smell?
Not so much.
You'd need a completely different contraption for that, I think.
Darn. There's a market. So what's coming up? What's new? I mean, has everything been invented?
Oh, that would be crazy to think that it has been invented. There's always something to be done. People's needs and challenges evolve over time. And as soon as you solve one problem, another one can come up, or the next temptation can arise. And so, we constantly do that at Bose, whether it's on the consumer side and on the aviation side. And the way that we do that is we collect as much feedback as we can. We collect it from our customers, what's working, what isn't working. What's your environment and how can we fit into that better? So all of those are just little triggers for ideas, opportunities for us to pull more data, talk with more people, ask them how big of a problem it is, what's the magnitude of the problem, things like that. And on the aviation side of things, we've had a lot of those types of conversations, especially over the past 2 years since the A30 headset came out. That's our latest aviation headset. And we've really just been focused on hearing how that's going for people. And we're very encouraged to hear that it's going quite well for people. And we're just continuing to collect that feedback and see what else is there.
I imagine now you've long since upgraded to USB rechargeable lithium powered sets, as opposed to the old ones that had a battery box.
Well, we've kept it with the battery. So the A30 takes two AA
Okay.
Alkaline batteries, and you get about 45 hours of life on that.
Wow.
You know, it, that comes and goes. Battery life is always a tricky thing to predict, but on average, you can expect about 45 hours from it. You can use rechargeable AA's inside of it, but when you get into the rechargeable size AA's and so forth, what you're getting out of the box is all over the place by manufacturer and how much voltage is coming with out of the box and how it drains that voltage. And so, you know, we don't talk too much about that because it's hard to predict and make a promise on behalf of the manufacturer to do that. But it's certainly safe to use in the system and can be a point of convenience for many.
And I guess AA's are easy to get anywhere.
You can find them at your local gas station.
Right. So no matter where you are, if you have a problem with a battery, it's not a problem to get another one.
That's right.
Well, you know, speaking of advancing the technology, do you see a day when aviation headsets go completely cordless?
Yeah, we've heard about that for a long time now. And I think that it could be possible, certainly in some aircraft it could be possible. And it depends on how universally you want to fit into every aircraft in the world. One of the challenges with that is it's a really loud environment from an RF standpoint, from a radio frequency standpoint. There's just a lot of electrical noise and radio frequencies that get in the way, and Bluetooth fundamentally is vulnerable to that. And
right.
So it really needs to come down to an industry level technology that gives robust radio signals that would not be impacted by all of the other avionics work that's happening in the cockpit. So I think we're still quite some time away from that personally.
Okay, well, let's talk about fail-safe. If batteries die on the noise canceling, you can still get audio, right? You just don't get canceling.
That's correct, yeah. So the batteries power digital signal processing for EQ and clarity and speech and so forth. It powers the whole acoustic noise cancellation system inside of it. But sometimes batteries run out or sometimes issues happen. And boy, what a tragedy if you lost your communication.
Well, so, I was thinking that's the first problem with a cordless headset.
That's right.
Battery dies, you're totally dead.
Exactly right. So that certainly would be a problem as well. And so you might want to keep something cabled on that. With the A30 and the ProFlight 2 that we have out today, that's factored in so that if you do lose power, you won't lose your communications. And you have that fail-safe in place, and you'll still be able to communicate effectively. You won't have your noise cancellation, like
right.
you mentioned, but you will still be able to communicate even with dead batteries.
That's good.
And even without the noise cancellation, you still have some noise deadening courtesy of the physical aspect of the headset itself.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So when we talk about noise canceling headsets, there's really two components to that. There's a passive and an active side. And that passive side is just materials and clamping force and things like that. You know, if you're mowing your lawn and you have those big earmuff things that are squeezing and not too comfortable to wear, the electronic side of it, the active noise cancellation, helps you trade off a lot of that. So you buy back weight and size and bulk and all that dampening materials.
What do you rate your noise reduction ratio at? I mean, I like to see headphones that are like 30, 32 dB, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, you know, we actually don't rate them. The tests are subject to interpretation and how
okay.
you do that test criteria, so we don't rate them that way.
You just put on the package, it reduces noise a lot.
Yeah.
Shut up, it works.
That's right, yeah. We rather listen to the voice of the customer to tell us how
okay.
that's working.
Okay.
What kind of customer feedback have you been getting?
We've been getting a lot of great feedback. So a lot of our customers are new pilots, and they've made a great choice to invest strong on the best headset that they can find because they're going to live under it for a long time. And so what we've been getting back from those pilots is it's the best decision that they made. And so they love using it. It's comfortable. They can be in it for hours at a time. And they love the clarity of the communications and of course, the noise canceling as well.
Well, I've worn headsets industrially, hours at a time, and you kind of try and get used to them, but you, it always feels good to pop them off.
If you're lucky, at some point your head goes numb.
Yeah.
Well, now, the experiences that I've had with Bose headphones, both consumer and aviation, is outstanding. I mean, the stuff really works. It's as reliable as a box of rocks.
The check is in the mail.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate you saying that.
We'll validate your parking for you. But no, it really does make a difference, because just for grins and giggles, when I was up in that TBM 700, I popped them off. And the difference between listening to it ambient and the headset was night and day.
That brings up a question. These are for any airplane. I mean, even a Cub can be noisy and would benefit greatly from canceling headsets.
Yeah, that's right. We built the A30 so that you could fly it in just about any general aviation aircraft. And there's a lot that goes into that. There's the acoustic noise cancellation power of that. And then there's also how we fit onto people's heads, too. So it's very diverse, not only in terms of aircraft type with different cable connectors and its overall total performance, but then also how it feels on your head. You know, anatomy is different from person to person. And, you know, being able to fit that range without really trading off clamping force and that overall fatigue factor. That's why we have the physical design of the headset the way that we do, is it keeps that steady pressure on your head, whether you have a large head or a little head, or your ears are down low or up high.
Do you make a set that can be mounted into a helmet?
We do not.
Okay, so strictly over the head.
That's right.
And it keeps your hat from flying off. That's the other important thing, right?
Yeah, really.
It keeps your hat from flying off, and we even have our headband cushions that cater to that little cap on the top of your ball cap.
Oh, yes, that hurts.
Yeah, so you don't get that pressure point in the top of your head. So when you look at the A30, you'll see that there's two cushions on side to side and nothing in the middle, and that's to account for that.
These guys thought of everything.
Yes, they did. Well, we've been talking to Jason Brisbois from Bose here. I'm Fast Eddie.
I'm Digital Dave.
This is EAA Radio.